Last November, I was elected to the Baltimore City Council, which is somewhat of a lifelong dream, and it was one of the best nights of my life. And then I woke up the next morning, and guess who got elected president? Oops. I represent the first district, which is Southeast Baltimore, and it is one of the most uniquely diverse places in our city and maybe in our country. It is traditionally home to Italians. We have Little Italy, to Greeks. We have Greektown, to the Polish, to the Ukrainian, and over the last 15 or so years, to largely folks from Central America, Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador, some folks from Mexico. It is a place of immigration. And so, within my first 2 weeks on the city council, I get a call that two of our community members, two of my neighbors, have disappeared. Where have they gone? Well, ICE has snatched them up, Immigration Customs Enforcement. They went into a Walgreens right in Highland Town to go get their medicine. They came out, and they were apprehended by ICE. A few weeks later, I get a call that a father of a 9-year-old child in one of our elementary schools was taken by ICE right outside of his son's school. Now, what you should know about these three men, what they have in common is that they had no criminal record. They weren't drug dealers. They weren't violent criminals. They weren't gang members. All they were doing was trying to live their lives here in Baltimore. And when I got this call about the father who was taken outside of his son's school, there was a panic in the community. And all of a sudden, we saw our attendance at our elementary schools drop precipitously. All of a sudden, public safety was being undermined because folks, our undocumented folks who live in our district, were afraid to communicate with law enforcement. And we know when that happens, people are going to get robbed and not report it to the police. And so I get this call from a young person, a high school student, who's part of this group, Oye, and they say, Councilman Cohen, three of your constituents have been taken by ICE. This is unacceptable, and we need you to step up and be an advocate on this issue. And I didn't know too much about immigration at this point. To be honest, I've been a public school teacher. I ran a nonprofit. I'm chairman of the education committee, so I kind of thought my path on the city council would be about schools and about our kids. But here's a young person calling me up saying, we need you to advocate on this issue. So all these young people come to City Hall, and they sit me down, and they say, and I say, you know, what do you need me to do? What would that look like? And so they say, well, we want you to introduce a resolution in the city council proclaiming that Baltimore is a welcoming city, right? Similar to a sanctuary city. And we want you to make it very clear to the agencies, particularly the police department, that they are not to work with ICE, that they are not to coordinate, that ICE should not be issuing detainers and taking people out of our jails. That's what we want you to do. So I say, sure. And so I introduced this resolution at the city council, and Baltimore is a really interesting town. It is, as I'm sure you've all learned very quickly, it can be challenging. It can be racially tense at all times. But I introduced this resolution, and it passes with unanimous support from my colleagues. Every single city council person stands with me in saying Baltimore is a welcoming city, and we want it to stay that way, which is great. And so then that night, I get a call from someone who I never thought I would get a call from, and that happens to be the Tucker Carlson show on Fox News. Not someone I thought I'd get a call from. And Tucker's producer says, Councilman Cohen, we heard you've passed a welcoming resolution in Baltimore, and you know we're interested in having you on the show. So I go to the Oye group. I go to the young people, and I say, what do you think about this? I mean, would this do more damage than it's worth? But the young people say, no, you need to tell our story. You need to be out there. Because we can't, because some of them are undocumented, but you can. And you need to step up and be in public. So I say, okay. So I get on Tucker's show, and it's very bizarre. I'm in this little box. Like, I'm not in New York. I'm in Baltimore. I'm in the local studio. And I can see this image of Tucker. And Tucker's narrative that week is there was a rape of a young woman in Rockville, Maryland, right? And some of you remember this. The suspects were two Latino kids, both undocumented. And so Tucker's whole narrative, Fox's whole narrative that whole week was about Mexican rapists and immigrants coming here to destroy our country and all this stuff. And so I get on the Tucker Carlson show, and Tucker says, how can you do this? You know, you're turning your city over to the criminals. Why would you want to do this? And I remind Tucker that, no, that's actually not factually correct. Actually, immigrants commit less crimes than naturally born Americans do. And if you look at Baltimore, in my district, immigrants are rebuilding our city. If it weren't for the Honduran, the Guatemalan, the Salvadorian community in Highland Town and in Upper Fells Point and in Greektown, our communities would look like so many other parts of our city that have been depopulated. These folks have come here. They've built houses. They've built businesses. Their kids are in our schools. And Tucker says, yeah, but they're taking our jobs and they're taking away, you know, our taxes. And I remind Tucker that my great-grandmother came here from Austria to escape the Holocaust. The rest of my family passed away, perished in concentration camps. And thank God this country accepted my great-grandmother, because if they hadn't, we wouldn't be having this conversation. And so in the end, Tucker and I agreed to disagree. Right? So I get on my little box, and I check my cell phone, and it is like blowing up, like nonstop, buzzing. Like, I can't even hold it because it's buzzing so much. And I'm like, ugh. So I look down, and my inbox is filled, literally thousands of emails from people around the country telling me what a jerk I am. And telling me that I'm destroying America and that this is the end of our country as we know it. And my grandma would be ashamed of me, and, you know, she came here legally and so on and so forth. And so this goes on for about 3 days, and the emails start to get worse and worse and worse. And our office starts to blow up with phone calls from people all around the country to tell me what a jerk I am. And they also start to get violent. Right? There are some death threats. There are some swastikas and Pepe the Frogs, which is the new thing. And so I'm just filled with all of this hatred in my inbox, on the phone. They get my wife's Facebook profile, and somebody says, oh, that's why he's out here doing this, because his wife is a Muslim terrorist. That's what it is. And by the way, my wife is Hindi. And she's certainly not a terrorist. She's actually a psychiatrist. But they take her profile, and it's all over the internet, and they find my family, and they got everybody's profile, and it's just absolutely crazy. And you're in one of those storms, media frenzies, and you don't really know what to do, and it's intense. And, you know, the Oye youth are like, well, thank you, and thank you for telling the actual story. Thank you for talking about what Baltimore really is, that it is a welcoming city. And so someone the other day asked me, you know, would you do this again? I mean, would you, you know, if you were in that same situation, given how much vitriol and hatred and all the rest, would you go back on there? And my answer is yes. And the reason is because when the Statue of Liberty says, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free, she beckons to not just my great-grandma, but to my Honduran neighbor as well. This country is made for all of us. We rise and we fall together. Justice knows no boundaries or borders. Thank you.